that we can read it together. And this is, of course, today's Palm Sunday. Some of you might have got a green palm and you might have your palm cross with you. And we'll explain that a bit later. So we're going to read together, just starting from the first sentence. So as we acknowledge Palm Sunday, marking the beginning of the final event of Christ's ministry on the earth, we'll read a harmonized account from the Gospels to give a fuller and clearer picture of these events. And I'm listed here Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so this is a combination of all the Gospels that cite this story put into one lineage. So as Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, coming to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. On it no one has ever sat. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks you, say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." So the disciples went and found it just as he had said. As they were loosening the colt, the owner said, "Why are you loosening the colt?" They answered, "The Lord has need of it." And they were allowed to take it. They brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus, threw their garments on them, and set him upon the colt. This was done to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet: "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, and a foal of a donkey." That's Zechariah. As he went, a very great multitude spread their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees, palm branches, and spread them in the way. The next day, a great crowd had come to the feast, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They went out to meet him, rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, especially because he had risen Lazarus from the dead, and those who witnessed it bore a record. The multitudes went before him and followed him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So as he descended the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples continued to rejoice. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered and he said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep quiet, silent, the stones would immediately cry out." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. When he came to Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" The multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." The Pharisees said amongst themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Then Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple, looked around at the things. And as the hour was already late, he went out of Bethany with the 12. So this account is just giving you a snapshot of all the people, right? They would have seen Lazarus raised from the dead. Okay, Lazarus is in the tomb. Some of them would have been at the tomb, and they would have seen the tomb move and Jesus call out, "Lazarus, come forth." Right? They would have been stirred up. They would have been speaking about it. So a multitude of people came down, and they would have thought, "This must be the Son of God. This must be God. Who can do such a thing?" So what's going on here? The triumphal entry. This was a prophetic timeline, right? You look at this event, it wasn't just in the Bible. This was already prophesied according to the Holy Scriptures. This is how we know he is the living God, proclaimed in Zechariah 9:9, God who came in the flesh. And I've put a small section so you can read it, and so we can read it. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut out of the chariot from Ephraim and the house from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations." And then it goes on to say, "His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." You see, the Jewish nation were expecting a king to rise up like those in days gone by to save them from the Roman occupiers. They were under the Roman rule. "His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." So they were aware of his power, since many witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus, as mentioned earlier. They were so convinced that they were throwing their clothes on the floor and waving palm leaves. And I put you, what does this symbolize? What does it mean to us that these things are happening? So number one, clothes on the ground. Clothes on the ground equals submission to a king. When the crowd laid their garments, and indeed the disciples, on the donkey, it was a powerful act of submission. The Old Testament example is given, 2 Kings 9:13. When Jethro was made king, they took every man his garment and put it under him, and blew the trumpet saying, "Jethro is king." So laying garments down meant, one, we submit to you. They're saying, "We submit to you, God." Two, we honor your authority. And three, you are our king. These are all the people gathered saying these things on this procession. So when the crowd waved palms, they were treating Jesus like a victorious king. So clothes on the ground means submission, and the waving of palms mean victory. However, many of those who cheered for Christ as king, laying their garments on the ground and waving palm branches, were also expecting him to deliver them from the Roman rule. And they later turned away and turned on him. Some would go on to cry, "Crucify him." They honored him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. At the time of his triumphal entry, Jesus spoke these words, sobering words. And he says this, "If you had known, even you," talking to the Jewish people, "especially in your day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, because you did not know the time of your visitation." He saw the city and wept over it. So the week before Good Friday, we're in this week. You know, we've read some scriptures. What can we learn from it? For us today, looking back at these events, we must also make sure that we and our hearts are right with God, and that we follow him, and not for what he can do for us, right? They were following Jesus because they thought he's going to free us from the Roman rule. He's going to help us. He's going to come in. He's going to slay them. But not what he can do for us, but because he is king and we have made him Lord over our life. You understand this? Are you turning the pages before we get in? Are you peeping, church? I don't want to go too quickly, right? Because I want us to go slowly through the narrative. Think about it, right? many of us know of Christ. We're in church, right? Maybe we're asking Christ to do certain things for us and things aren't working out, right? It's the same thing. They had an immediate problem that the Romans taxing them, right? They were under this occupation, right? And they hated it. Now Jesus come, the prophets come, they're reading the Old Testament and they say, well, he must be the one. He's raised people from the dead. That's the one, that's the king. But he doesn't do what they think. He does what he wants to do. And because of it, people turn their back on him. Can you imagine cheering? Oh, look at this Jesus. And the next day, oh, no, he's not the one. Why? Because the heart is wicked. As in Jeremiah reminds us, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? We're talking about a heart. Right, we're talking about our hearts. So we have to also not look at us and go, oh, look at those people. How can they do that? I can tell you what, very easy. We can all do the same thing. If you're honest with yourself. Right? Sin is very deceptive. It can turn you like this. Like a dime. Many people started off in Christianity very strong. I know many brothers starting off in Christianity, preaching and praying and seeing the works of God. And 3 years later, they denied Christ. Totally not interested. It's scary. It's shocking. But God is wanting us to read the scripture and to think about our lives. Right? We're in Holy Week. Right? We need to just connect with God in a way that we're saying, Lord, you know, even if this thing doesn't work out, I will still follow you. Lord, I'm sick. I'm dying. If I don't get healed, you know, I'm still going to follow you. Right? Lord, the house I want, the job I want, the business I want, you know, Lord, if it doesn't work out, you know, okay, fair enough, but you know, I will still follow you. That's what he's asking us, isn't he? The message saying, will you still follow me? Will you trust me? Will you recognize this door is not for you, but the next door, or the next door, or the next door? We have to pull the scriptures into our life, into our situation, and live it. That's the only way we will find the truth for us. So it's very important that this story, right, that we have moments, right? If I say to you guys, you know, one moment you might wake up full of Jesus, the next day you're doubting or you're tired or you're weary. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing, right? But you have to remember he is faithful. Right? He's got a faithfulness. Just keep trusting him with your very breath. As I said to everyone, you are better off dying trusting God than trusting in yourself, right? Because then you say, Lord, I trusted you. It's very difficult, isn't it? To die trusting God. We always have a plan B or a plan C or a plan D. We have different plans going on. If God doesn't answer this, I'll move on to the next one. Right, and God's saying, I did tell you what I'm going to do. I change it not. My mind doesn't change. So we have to recognize how God is working, church. Right? We have to have God's wisdom in us, don't we? Decisions to make. We've got to think, Lord, I need to trust you. And this is why it's important that we just don't read through the scriptures very quickly. But we meditate slowly. That you're thinking about things. That you're reading the word. You're getting closer. Because this is how you will have more wisdom in you. So it's coming to a close now. So I've got just 3 points. If you haven't turned your paper already, you can turn. So just 3 points, okay? Now for us, right, we're looking at the events, aren't we? Instead of laying down clothes as a form of submission, we lay down our lives. As a form of submission every day, isn't it? Any that want to be my disciples must deny themselves. Doesn't he say, pick up the cross and follow me? We are not free to do what we want, right? Christianity doesn't give you the choice to do what you want, right? But instead, we do the will of God, right? Just as Christ laid his life down and submitted to the Father, we lay our lives down and submit to Christ, the Son of God. Same thing. Instead of waving palm branches as a sign of victory, we lift up our hands in worship through gratitude and praise, honoring him as our true king. For he is our victory. All right, so we've got a different type of palm to raise up. It's inside you. Thank you, Lord, it's not working, but I'll still praise you, right? My situation looks hopeless, but I will still praise you. Things aren't going out, I'm not feeling right. Whatever's going on, Lord, I will still praise you. Each other, we need to grow. We need to get to the place where you are trusting God with your very life, yeah? Not because the circumstances are in your favor one day and next they're not. It's, Lord, I don't care what's happening, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to work through the storm, I'm going to trust you with my life. So these are difficult things, right? Difficult truths that the Lord wants us to engage with. So one is submission every day. All of us, you have to submit to God every day. Father, not my will, your will be done. Right, isn't it? Okay. Number two, Lord, the waving of the branches. But listen, your victory is already done. Yeah, the victory is all done. The young lady said at the back, she's already speaking victory. And she hasn't seen it. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I don't see it, but you know, your word says, Lord. And I believe you. And this is where you see the miraculous. This is where you see God moving mountains. Because God likes impossible things. He doesn't want easy things. He wants the God of the impossible. Why did he raise Lazarus on the fourth day? His spirit had left the body already. His spirit had left the body already in the afterlife. He came back into Lazarus, go forth. God wants to make sure that you trust him. And he always has this habit of coming in at the last moment. Isn't God annoying? At the last moment where you have nothing. Where if God doesn't do it, you will either have nothing. You will have nothing or you will die. He always comes in at that moment. He goes, ah, don't worry about it. I always had you. Isn't it? Sometimes God is like that, isn't he? Yeah, you know, come on. Just, you know, look, you, the whole Bible tells you, I'm always in time. I'm always on time. You're early, but I'm always on time. And it's my time, I'll come. Not your time. Because he's the God of all timing. Number three, to meditate and believe. Again, we live in the victory, right? We're not living at the cross. We're living in the victory of the cross. Yeah, so we have to move from the religious thing. It's great to sit at the cross, honor Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you died, you're crucified. Right, but now we have to go beyond it. We have to live beyond the cross to have the victory. It says here, look. Thanks be to God who gives us the failure. What? Is that what it says, church? Thanks be to God who gives us the doubt. Hallelujah. Just trust him. Does it say that, church? Can I manipulate the words? What does it say, church? Right? What does it say? He goes, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. You see that word there? Take it to the bank. What do we say? Don't bet against God. There's a wise woman there. Don't bet against God, right? Lord, your word says it. I don't care what the word says. And you said it. I believe it. I'm going to end up here. Revelation 7:9. This is beautiful. This is in heaven. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude who no one could number, all nations and tribes and people and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, victory, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Isn't that beautiful? I wanted to have this imagery at the back, right? Because, you know, we've got Jesus coming in on a colt, and look where he's coming when he's coming back. We're here now. He's coming back. The next time Christ comes back, Revelation 9:11 gives us this very clear imagery. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it, him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, church. So, with that being said, you know, I've given you these palms, and I want you to take them home. Some of you have got branches, right? I just put them on the fridge, put them on your bedside table. I just want you to remember when you're having a tough day, right? When you're struggling, when things are rough, right? Right? When you have no hope, when you have no strength, look at this cross, right? Look at what Jesus did for us, and get strength from it. Right, so I got these today, and I printed this so you can hopefully keep the notes, right? I don't normally give you notes. Put it on your fridge. Put the palm on there, right? And I'm just going to end in prayer for everyone here today, just to remind you, right, that you live in victory. So, Father, before we go into a time of communion, I just want to pray over the brothers and sisters here, Lord God, this afternoon. That the words of Christ would live in them, that the victory of the cross will abide in them. That in their low moments, when they're struggling, oh God, in the weeks ahead, in the months ahead, in the years ahead, that they'll have this palm and they will wave it and they will remember that they have the greater one living in them. They will remember that every promise is yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. That they will live, Lord, in the humility of how Jesus came, but also in the power of the cross. And I pray that, Lord, for everyone here in the mighty name of Jesus. And church, as you are, just stay where you are now. We're going to go into a time of communion. And I just want everyone here right now, we're going to say the Our Father. Just repent of anything you need to repent of. Just let things go. Okay, I'm going to give a few moments, right? And then we're going to just say the prayer together. And so, Lord, just a moment. Father, Lord, we just repent of anything in our lives, unholy, ungodly, unrighteous characters, words we said, oh God, because you say, by your words we'll be condemned and by your words we'll be justified. So every word a man speaks, we have to give an account. So, Father, forgive us, oh Lord. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Spirit of God, if we have resisted you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, if we have resisted you in any way, if we have grieved you in any way, Lord, forgive us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as far as the east is from the west, so far our sins have been removed, our iniquities. And then we'll just say that together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. And ever. Amen. So if we can just have the communion being distributed this afternoon. For guests this morning, if you don't want to take communion, you can just bow your heads and they will pass you by. Spend these moments in intimacy with the Lord. If you want to close your eyes and speak to the Lord, use that time, Lord. Whatever you want to say to him, Lord, just help me. You know, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for your body broken, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Thank you so much. Speak to him from your heart, not religion, but speak to him. Whoever you speak to, a person you love, you speak to the Lord like that. And so it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. Father, thank you. He broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So thank you, Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again.